Jesse Holmes wins the Fish First Award. Page is on his heels, and over 400 miles of trail separate the first musher and the last. Let's kick it off.
Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to this sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of this sport, in-depth interviews with a top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on mushing.com.
Tonight, we're gonna go old school cool with The Breeze by Lynyrd Skynyrd, submitted by John Cooper, who did our musher Q&A on mushing.com from 1974, way back. Call me the breeze. I keep blowing down the road. Well, now, they call me the breeze. I keep blowing down the road. I ain't got me no buddy. I don't carry me no load. Ain't no change in the weather. Ain't no changes in me. Well, there ain't no change in the weather. Ain't no changes in me. And I ain't hiding from nobody. Nobody's hiding from me. Oh, that's the way it's supposed to be.
This is the perfect mushing song. I love some Skynyrd. I don't know if the kids these days can appreciate old school Southern rock, but this is excellent mushing music. And if you didn't know, there are a couple other bands from Jacksonville, Florida. The youngsters might just know a little bit about a little band called Shinedown and the boys from Limp Bizkit. By the way, last night on our Moment in History segment, we talked about a plane crash where one of the Iditarod mushers died. Did you know that the same thing happened to Lynyrd Skynyrd in 1977? The lead singer, Ronnie Van Zant, and several other members of the band died as well. Let's kick off the day on the trail, but before we do, thanks for all the messages today. I woke up to several emails in our inbox. You guys are doing what we're asking you to do over at podcast@mushing.com. I know Michelle got a few messages on Facebook as well. So where are we at? I think the big news is there is over 400 miles of trail being used right now. We have Thomas Verner and Shell Roki all the way up in Unalakleet. And we have Steve Curtis way back in McGrath. That is over 300 miles of trail with those guys way up at mile 714 and Steve way back at 310. So in first place currently, as we've seen most of the race now, Jesse Holmes at mile 446 with 329 miles to go. Paige Drobny, same spot. Millie Porcelet at 603, so she is 23 miles back from second place with 372 miles to go. Travis Beals, about 9 miles behind Millie with 380 miles to go. And Raleigh Dyke with 591 miles under his belt, 384 miles to go. So even the top five mushers are spread out by about 55 miles. That's a pretty good clip to be able to pick up some spots there. Rounding up the back of the pack, we have Jody Potts-Joseph, 495 miles with 480 to go. She does have 11 dogs, and she has not taken her 8-hour rest on the Yukon. Neither has Sam Papperman, same spot. 495 as well is Adam Lindermuth. Sadie Lundquist at 495 as well. And Grayson Burton, just about 5 miles down the trail from those guys at mile 500 with 475 miles to go. No further scratches, only Jay Foucher is the scratch. So a lot of race still happening, but we're going to talk a little bit about the next award. Jesse is cleaning house with these awards. Today at 4:23 p.m. with 13 dogs, Jesse Holmes, who is bib number 7, won the Bristol Bay Native Corp Fish First Award, which has been presented since 2014. It was given to him in cow tag. It consists of 25 pounds of fresh Bristol Bay salmon fillets, $2,000, and a wood-burned art piece by BBNC shareholder artist Apayuk Moore. It is a very cool award. We reshared that post from Iditarod.com. And of course, these guys are all about the fish here in this portion of Alaska. For sure, this guy is claiming all of the awards. Michelle, any updates on your end that you'd like to talk about?
You know, Robert, I am just happy to see all of the competitive mushers are definitely on the Yukon at this point. And although we are stretching from just in front of Caltag and all the way back to Ruby, I know that the villages along the river are excited to see the mushers this year and welcoming them. And I do know that Jody Potts-Joseph has got some family and friends there in Ruby that are giving her a little bit of a party.
Yeah, very cool. I heard something through the grapevine today that it was either Thomas or Shell have every intention of making it to Nome in 7 days. So that would be Tuesday Monday when that will happen. And I saw that Danny Seavey had worked out the math, saying that it looks like Jesse Holmes is on a record pace for potentially finishing in 9 days, 5 or 6 hours. That would be pretty dang impressive for sure. So we still have quite a bit of race left. We have the entire coast to run there. And then, of course, all of that there on the Yukon and the Caltag Portage as well. Anything else, Michelle, before we jump over to our musher profile of the evening?
Have you heard anything about the coastal weather?
I have not yet, but we'll figure that out and we'll let our folks know tomorrow.
That sounds good, because I know that once they get to Unalakleet, the weather can really shift and become problematic again, as it is in the interior, just as they get through the Alaska Range.
So on our musher profile this evening, this name is one of our most searched names over on mushing.com over the last few days, probably because of her bison encounter the other day. She is also one of the interviews that you profiled during the Iditarod restart. We're talking about Jody Potts-Joseph. What do you have for us?
Well, I'm going to start off first and foremost by apologizing for the upcoming native words and names of villages. I hope that I do not butcher them. So please understand that I give you guys the utmost respect, but these are hard things for me to say. But yes, tonight's musher profile highlights Iditarod rookie Jody Potts-Joseph, a musher whose journey to the starting line is rooted deeply in culture, family, and the land of Alaska's interior. Jody was born in Fairbanks and now lives in Eagle Village, where she trains her team at Raven Clan Kennel along the Yukon River. Her kennel sits on traditional lands of her ancestors in the upper Yukon and 40-mile river country. Jody is Han Gwichin and a citizen of both the native village of Eagle and the Trodok Hwechin First Nation. Apologies, please. And for her, mushing is not simply a sport. It is a cultural tradition and a way of life that connects generations of her family to the land and the trail. Dogs have been part of Jody's life from the beginning. Growing up in Eagle, dog teams were a practical way to travel during the long interior winters. She often talks about learning the rhythms of the trail at a young age, sometimes even riding to school behind a dog team. Much of that early knowledge came from family members, especially her Uncle Ben Junby, who shared traditional knowledge and the stories that come with it. Her brother Sonny also played a big role in those early dog runs that helped shape her love of the sport. As she continued to develop as a musher, Jody spent time working with and learning from experienced racers and dog handlers. She worked alongside Jesse Holmes during his early mushing years, gaining experience in kennel management and long-distance racing preparation. She also trained and guided dogs with Sven Altman, and she continues to draw inspiration and knowledge from interior Athabascan mushers who have shared generations of trail wisdom. For Jody, the Iditarod represents more than a race across Alaska. It reflects the long tradition of dog travel and sustained communities across the North for generations. She often says that what she loves most about mushing is the chance to travel through Alaska's vast wilderness with what she calls the greatest animals on earth. Life for Jody extends well beyond the dog yard. She is active in her community and the broader Alaska Native world as a guide, consultant, advocate, and storyteller. She serves on several boards and is currently producing a film project titled Beautiful Resistance, which explores Indigenous identity, resilience, and cultural connection to land and tradition. When she is not training dogs or working on community projects, Jody spends time practicing traditional skills such as skin sewing and beadwork, and she enjoys hunting, fishing, and cooking for family and friends. Much of her life still centers around the Yukon River, a place that remains central to her identity in every season. Above all, Jody says, the greatest source of strength in her journey comes from her family. She credits the support of her husband, Jamie Joseph, along with her extended family, friends, and sponsors for helping her reach the starting line of the Iditarod. For this rookie musher from Eagle, every mile down the trail carries not only the excitement of competition, but the continuation of long cultural traditions that has traveled these same routes for generations.
Like we said, that is by far one of the most searched terms on mushing.com. We are profiling a musher every night here on the Burled Arch podcast, and we have a whole bunch of posts on the website under the heading, Who is Iditarod Musher and the name? So go ahead and check those out. You can definitely find them all in our archives. Now it is time for tonight's Moment in Mushing History.
Welcome to the Mushing Podcast. It's time for another memorable moment in mushing history, sponsored by Peak Experience, providing experiential and team-building courses.
Here we go. Let's travel back to March 1988. And some of you diehards probably can guess what this story is going to be all about. Butcher makes it three straight. Sirens wailed and hundreds of boisterous fans jammed Nome's Front Street to cheer Susan Butcher as she coasted to an unprecedented third straight victory in the 1,150-mile Iditarod Trail sled dog race. Bitterly cold winds rake Nome as the flushed and perspiring 33-year-old Alaskan cruised beneath the log arch finish at 8:42 p.m. Wednesday, March 16th. It means a lot to me to win 3 years in a row, the smiling musher said as she hugged her frosty-faced lead dogs, Granite and Tolstoy. Butcher finished after 11 days, 11 hours, and 41 minutes, a record for the race's longer northern route from Anchorage to Nome. Last year, her time of 11 days and 2 hours set a record for the shorter southern route. A veteran of 11 Iditarod races, Butcher said she was surprised at the lack of competition in the final stretch. I thought this was going to be one of our very most competitive years, she said. Experience gained during a training run last month along the windy Bering Sea coast gave Butcher an edge over her closest rival, Martin Boozer of Big Lake, who trailed by 14 hours Wednesday night. What gave me the jump on Martin was that storm we had last night, Butcher said. I knew when I neared, we were going to have winds. That was the best thing that could have happened because I knew mine would pull through it.
It's very cool to hear that the record back in the late 80s was 11 days and 11 hours, I believe you said, Michelle. And we just heard from Danny Seavey saying that the record could be broken this year at 9 days and 5 hours. So a full 2 days ahead of time. So that just shows how Iditarod has become a much quicker race in just over 30 years. So I'm sure a lot of you guys are asking, what is up with all of this work from Team and Trail? Remember, we're not just a magazine. By far, we're not just a print magazine that goes into your mailbox. One of the very cool features that we're working on is we are scanning in literally by hand, page by page, every single issue of Team and Trail from 1959 to about 2009, and every issue of Mushing Magazine. And what we're going to do is going to be a searchable database. How did I find all of these moments in Mushing history? We use an app called Readwise, who, along with some AI tools built in, all we have to do is search Iditarod, and it pulls up these articles from Team and Trail, and it's optically character recognized, meaning all of the words come over. We just copy and paste them right into our script here, and this is something that you're going to be able to do. We are testing it right here on the Burled Arch. So when we have that up, you will be able to go into that database only if you are a subscriber. Only if you are a subscriber, and you can search anything you want. You can search Susan Butcher, Sven Haltman, Libby Riddles, Martin Boozer, Lance Mackey, or any other search term, and it's going to pull up every single article in the archives. And just know,
and any podcasts that you've done with some of these mushers as well.
And just know, 99% of this information is not available on the internet for public use. It is all behind our paywall. Yep, a paywall, deliberately. So if you're interested in this, I know a lot of you guys are. A lot of you guys are liking the new format that we're doing and all these moments in Mushing history and all that. Please consider becoming a member, not subscribing, become a member of Mushing. And you can do that at mushing.com/mushingplus. What do you think, Michelle? What's up next?
Well, Robert, you know, I would just like everybody to appreciate all of the nuances that go on behind the scenes. You know, we pour our hearts and souls into becoming the historians of Mushing and Team and Trail and all of those news articles that were written, some well before our time and a lot more before most of our children's time. And our kids are in their 30s, so that should give you guys a hint or two. But we are calling all fans of the Iditarod for a limited time only. You can receive a sticker from Mushing as a thank you. And these are some pretty cool stickers, you guys. It would be your thank you gift if you donate online. So you can visit mushing.com/donate to support us today and keep your independent Mushing media thriving.
And doesn't that sound like PBS and NPR?
Maybe it does. I don't necessarily like asking for people to donate, but we have done this podcast in particular since 2009, and we've always done it for free. We've always kept the lights on for it. Our other podcast on Dog Works Radio has been going for longer. 16 years were celebrated this year in January, and we've always done our podcasts for free with minimal advertising as possible. And we really do hope that you guys enjoy that.
So when Michelle says for free, what that means is it will always be available for free on all of the podcast apps. We will never charge for our podcasting content. Now, there's going to be all sorts of things, bonus content and things that we just mentioned. So of course, that is not free. We are a business. We got to keep the lights on, as Michelle said, but we will never put our podcast behind a paywall. I know that is becoming more and more common these days, but we will not do that.
Nor will we sell Casper beds or AG1 or what are the other ones that are out there? We're not interested in selling you guys a product.
So this is not a sales pitch. We just want to keep you guys abreast of what we're doing because a lot of people are asking. A lot of people are liking these new features. We are on the home stretch here, at least on the podcast. As I mentioned last night, we have crossed over our halfway point. We are on day 11 of our coverage. We have right now, we have a 20-day outline that takes us all the way through the banquet next Sunday. Wait until Tuesday and Wednesday. It's going to become very interesting to figure out how we are going to host this show. We're going to try to figure that out as we move forward.
Yes, I need everyone that's listening tonight to continue to tune in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because I'm all on my own.
So to speak, we will let the cat out of the bag pretty soon when we figure out the logistics. But the show will go on, as they say. Michelle, what's on tomorrow's podcast?
It looks like we are talking about the Caltag Portage, one of my favorite locations to talk about, Old Woman Cabin, and more. So if you have questions, be sure to leave us a text or a voicemail by calling our hotline at 303-578-9881. Or as always, you can send an email to podcast@mushing.com. And you guys pretty much have figured out how to find Robert and I across all social media. So we look forward to hearing from you any way, shape, or form.
Oh, and by the way, I got to make one more shout out to a fan today. I guess late in the episode, either last night or the night before, you dropped that 6-7 reference.
I have a coworker at the law office I work at. He's 24 years old and he can't stand the 6-7. So anytime any of the other attorneys say 6-7, he does the hand gesture and I quickly quip. 6-7.
Well, I guess we said that really late in one of the episodes towards the end. And somebody commented on one of our socials that says, to prove that I listened to the podcast all the way through the end, and dropped a meme of a kid
doing the 6-7,
yes! Whatever that means. So thank you
for
listening.
Nobody knows what it means. That's why it's so ridiculous.
So thank you for listening all the way through. It does help us out. And speaking of which, be sure to hit that subscribe, follow, or plus button wherever you're listening
to
this.
And hey, let's keep in mind, half of a 6-7 might be taking the win.
There you go.
Jesse Holmes, number 7.
Okay, guys. That I did a math as we're doing it right now. So with that, again, hit that subscribe button. Let us know that you're here, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Goodbye.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.